Good evening, everyone, and Fredo Hanukkah. I want to discuss this week the halachas of what happens if you make a mistake in davening, because we just began saying the same Talumata Lebracha last Matzah Shabbos. I hope everybody's husbands told them about that, and this isn't the first time you're hearing about this. So beginning December 4th, the Marav, which was last month of Shabbos, we began saying the same Talmud Matar in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. And if one forgets to say the same Talmud Matar, then you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei over. It's Ma'akev the Shemoneh Esrei, and you need to start over from the beginning again. It's something which can't be left out of Shemoneh Esrei, and it doesn't help the fact that you said the same Bracha. It's different than Mayer Tatal. You need to begin Shemoneh Esrei over again if you forgot to say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha. Now, if you are in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and you finish Baruch Aleinu, and let's say, for example, you're in the middle of Yerushalayim Yircha, and you remember that you didn't say the same Talmud Matar. So the halacha is that instead of going back to Baruch Aleinu, at that point you can just continue on, wait until you get until Shema Kaleinu. And in the middle of Shema Kaleinu, you can say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha. You can insert it at any point, as long as it has to be before the last few words, which is Kiyato Shemea Tfilas Amcha Yisrael. So before you say those last few words of Kiyato Shemea, you need to say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha. So if let's say you started saying Kiyato Shemea, and then you realize, oh, I need to say the same Talmud Matar, so you just say the same Talmud Matar, and then you say again, Kiyato Shemea Tfilas Kalta. And that's the correct place to say it, and then you've taken care of your obligation to say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha. Now, if you forgot even to say it in Shema Tefillah, so you, for example, only remembered that you didn't say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha while you were in the middle of the Bracha of Maidim, so then, interestingly enough, you don't go back to Shema Kaleinu, which is what you would think, but rather, at that point, once you've missed Shema Kaleinu, you go back to Baruch Aleinu. And the reason is because the real place to say it is in Baruch Aleinu. If you are still before Shema Kaleinu, so we let you get away with it and say it in Shema Kaleinu. But if you miss that too, then being that you're going back anyway, we want you to go back to the best place to go back to, and therefore you go back to Baruch Aleinu. So anywhere up till you finish Shemoneh Esrei, after you've said Shema Kaleinu, you go back and to Baruch Aleinu and start over from there. Now, at what point is it too late? So you can say it at any point, even after you say Shalom Rav or Shalom, until you get to the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So now, it depends on if you're still davening, which means, let's say you said Elokein Tzar and you said Yul Ratan, but you usually add things at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Even after you say Yul Ratan, you daven for someone with a refuah, or for someone's shidduch, or for children, or for health, or whatever it is that you daven for. So as long as you're still in the middle of saying some other tefillah that you usually say, you consider that you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei still. And if you remember at that point that, oh, I didn't say Saint Talmud Matar Lebracha, you can jump back to Baruch Aleinu, no problem. But as soon as you've finished and you're done saying whatever it is you say, even if you haven't stepped back three steps, but you're finished talking, you finished saying whatever it is you say in Shemoneh Esrei, so you're done davening part of Shemoneh Esrei, even though you haven't walked back three steps yet, the Shemoneh Esrei is over, and you have to start over all over from the beginning. So again, what you need to do is as follows. You have to say the same Talmud Matar Lebracha. If you forget it totally, you need to daven over. If you forgot, but you remembered before Shema Kaleinu, you say it in the middle of Shema Kaleinu before you say Kiyata Shemea. If you remembered after Shema Kaleinu, you go back to Baruch Aleinu, up to the point where you finish davening, which means even though you've already said Yud Ratzon, but you're still saying things, you can still go back. But once you stop saying things, even though you haven't walked back three steps, it's over, and you have to start Shemoneh Esrei over again. Now, the question is here, and this is really not just specifically relevant to the St. Helena Tel Bracha, but it's relevant to Shchedish or any other time. For example, let's say this Shabbos is Shabbos or Shchedish, right? So let's say you didn't know that because you were unfortunately not zeicha to come to shul last week when we did Rish Chedish, Birchas Chedish, Rish Chedish benching, and you have no idea what day Rish Chedish is. So on Shabbos, you daven Shachris and Shabbos, and they were very happy that you were able to daven Shachris. And then your husband comes home, and you ask him, why is he coming home so late? And he tells you, well, it was Rosh Chodesh, so davening was longer. So you say, oh my goodness, I didn't even know it was Rosh Chodesh. And now it's already after this man tefillah, so you can't daven Shachris anymore. It's right after Chatzos. So what do you do? And likewise now, if this was the first that you're hearing that you're supposed to say the same Talmud, so now you say, hey, my mincha wasn't good today, my shachas wasn't good today, what do I need to do? So the halacha is that you could, and it's a question if you're actually obligated to, but you could daven a tefillah tashlumin. Now what tefillah tashlumin means is that in the tefillah which is immediately follows the tefillah that you missed, or that you messed up in by saying the wrong thing, something that requires you to daven again, you can daven a second Shemoneh Esrei. So for example, in this case, that you forgot to say Yalav Yavai in Shachris and Rosh Chodesh, so that Shemoneh Esrei was a Shemoneh Esrei, but it was invalid because you need to daven it again to say that, to be able to say Yalav Yavai. So come Mincha, you can daven two Minchas, and the first one is the proper Mincha for Mincha, and the second one will be the Tashlumin for Shachris. So that's the concept of the Tefillah Tashlumin, and a woman can do that as well, and thereby be misakin what she did, and it's the right thing to do when we're talking about a tefillah that you usually daven. So if you usually daven on Shabbos, Shachris, then and you whatever happened, you either, you know, you missed it, totally missed it, or you forgot Yalav Yavai, or you didn't make some other mistake, it is proper to daven Tefillah Tashlumin. It's not clear if you're obligated, but it's the proper, it is the right thing to do. Now, in order to daven Tefillah Tashlumin, you need to know three things. Tefillah Tashlumin can only be done in the tefillah that's immediately after the tefillah you missed. So if you missed Mincha, you can daven two Maariv. And this is true, by the way, even though you never daven Maariv, but you have the option of, if you want to be Mashlim, you can choose to daven two Maariv and make up for Mincha. However, you can't daven two Shachrises to make up for Mincha because that's already too late, because you missed the tefillah that was immediately after the one you missed. So the only time you can make up a tefillah is the tefillah immediately afterwards. So let's say you just found out now that you're supposed to say the same Halamatar, you can't daven 21 Shemoneh Esreis to make up for all the ones that were not done properly this past week. You can only daven the very last Shemoneh Esrei over again in order to make up for it. That's the only choice. So you would be able to daven two Maariv tonight, and the second one being the Tashlumin for the first one. So rule number one is that Tashlumin can only be done in the tefillah which immediately follows the tefillah that was missed. Rule number two is that Tashlumin always is the same tefillah as whatever the tefillah at the time is supposed to be. So for example, if you missed Mincha on Erev Shabbos, and Mincha is something you usually daven Erev Shabbos, but it got late and you had to light Ner Shabbos, and then you realize after Ner Shabbos, oh, I didn't daven Mincha. So you're supposed to daven two Maariv. When you daven two Maariv, you daven two Maariv of Shabbos, even though the one you missed was a weekday Shemoneh Esrei. But that's not the way it works. When you do Tefillah Tashlumim, you do the identical tefillah of the tefillah that you missed. So you were to then, well, the right thing to do would be to daven two Maariv. And the last thing you need to know is that Tefillah Tashlumim needs to be davened immediately after the tefillah, the main tefillah. So in this situation, you're davening two Maariv, you daven one Maariv, which is for Maariv of the time, and then you daven a second Maariv immediately afterwards. You can't, if you wait too long and you get busy with something else, you're not supposed to daven Tefillah Tashlumin anymore. You only daven Tefillah Tashlumin right after you davened the tefillah of the main tefillah of the time. So the three rules, again, are you only daven Tefillah Tashlumin in the tefillah immediately afterwards. If you miss Mincha, you do Maariv twice. If you miss Shachris, you do Mincha twice. You need to daven the same tefillah as whatever the time frame is. So if it's Friday night, you daven two Friday night Shemoneh Esrei. And lastly, you need to daven immediately afterwards. You daven Shemoneh Esrei, and you need to daven the second Shemoneh Esrei right away without wasting too much time in between. And interestingly enough, you are supposed to be masik a little bit, and you're supposed to say Ashrei. It's interesting halacha. You're supposed to say, like, you daven two Maariv, you say Maariv, the first Maariv, say Ashrei, and then daven the second Maariv. So that's the extent of the hesek you're supposed to make. You're not supposed to divide them up any more than that. So that is the three rules of Tefillah Tashlumin. And again, if the tefillah that you missed or you messed up on was a tefillah that you really normally daven and you sort of accepted upon yourself as an obligation, it is the proper thing to make it up with the Tefillah Tashlumin. So I want to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. And I want to discuss a very famous woman who, although she's very famous, in truth, we really know very little about her. And I want to discuss the famous Yehudis, who, according to some Rishonim, is the reason why women are obligated in the Menorah, in lighting Hanukkah neris. And is also the reason why there's a specific minig for women to not do anything while the neris are burning for a half hour, and not do any work in order to appreciate the neris, because they were very involved in the Nes of Hanukkah. And how were they involved? Through this woman called Yehudis. This woman, Yehudis, was the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And we know that she, basically what everybody knows, is that she somehow snuck into the enemy camp, and she convinced the Eliporni, who was the general, to eat cheese, which either made him thirsty or tired, and drink wine, and he got dead drunk and fell asleep. And then she took his sword, chopped off his head, snuck out of the camp with his head, and then they displayed the head on the walls, and that instilled fear in the enemy army, and Klal Yisrael was successful at driving them away. And that's about what we know about it. So that being what we know, we could walk away with really the wrong idea and think that what we're celebrating over here was an act of supreme bravery, which it undoubtedly was, and we're celebrating, so to speak, a war hero. And it obviously can't be that, because we don't celebrate any war heroes in Jewish history. That's not things we celebrate. That's not things we idolize. A war hero has very little meaning. A tzaddik or a tzaddikus has meaning. That's the only thing that we ever celebrate in the history of Palestine. So why is it that we're making such a big deal about Yehudis? It's sort of like she was this paratrooper that parachuted behind enemy territory and managed to kill the leader and instill fear in the whole army, and we won the war as a result. That's just not something we ever celebrate, and certainly not. It doesn't seem to be the role of a woman at all. And it would be odd to celebrate that as if we would be saying that's something that should be emulated, when certainly it's not. And it doesn't seem to also be in tune with whatever the message of Hanukkah is meant to be. So we need to understand what's going on here. And the truth is, it was very difficult to do that because we knew so little about the story. And for a long time, it seemed like all the knowledge we had about the story came from one of the books of the Apocrypha, which are known also as Svarim Chitzaynim, which means that we didn't really have a true Mesorah on these books. They were passed down through a Gentile Mesorah. But lately, there has been many Midrashim that have been uncovered, and therefore we know a lot. We've gotten a lot more information. And the Midrashim all add a little bit, and I'm going to give you basically an overview of what happened based on the combination of a number of these Midrashim. And what happens is as follows. We're talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was besieged by Eliporni and 120,000 foot soldiers and another 12,000 cavalry, which was an overwhelming force, totally able to overrun the city. And when they set siege, they also broke all the water supply of the city, which was all supplied via aqueduct. They broke all the aqueducts and totally cut off the water supply to the city. So everybody in the city was now without water and basically destined to die within a couple of days unless they let the enemy in. And there was an interesting thing that happened here, which was that there was one advisor to the king, Eliporni, who told him that this is hopeless. You're going to lose. The Jews don't do battle based on might or strength. The battle they do is with praying and doing tshuva and serving God, and they're doing that now. And therefore, you have no chance. And this angered and infuriated Eliporni. So what he did was, he strung this person up, literally hung him from a tree in front of the walls of Yerushalayim, didn't kill him, hung him alive, and said, you'll watch from this beautiful vantage point how we overtake the city, and once we're successful, we'll kill you. So he was hanging there. And this becomes important later. So the leader of the city was Kayin, whose name was Uziel. And the whole city was obviously very taken by this terrible shastara that they were in. And they didn't know what to do. And they davened to Hashem day and night. And it says in the Midrashim, it details exactly what was the nusach. What did they say? What tefillos they davened? And they went to the base of Mikdash, and they wore sackcloth, and they fasted. And finally, he came out and he announced that we'll wait 5 days, and if Hashem doesn't save us in 5 days, we'll give ourselves up to the Ali party. Now, Yehudis was a rebbetzin in the city, and she was quite a rebbetzin. She had a special room, a davening room, where she would spend day and night together with her Talmidas. And she was known as the Yirei Shemayim, a very special Yirei Shemayim who would fast Tanesim, also day after day. And as well as that, she was also a very beautiful woman, which is interesting. And she was known and she was beloved by all as Yirei Shemayim and as a tzaddikah. She heard about this proclamation of Uzziel, and she came down and spoke to him and said, and gave him mussar, and told him, how could you do that? You can't give a time limit to God. You can't tell Hashem you have 5 days, or else. She said, that's a big error. That gets Hashem angry. He said, Hashem is loisamnu chasadav, v'chaloichalu rachamav. His rachmanis and his mercy and his chasadim are endless, but you have to daven for them. You can't demand it, and you can't make you can't make timelines. You can't squeeze Hashem into your timeline. So they admitted that they were wrong. So she said, we need to do tshuva. And she exhorted them to all daven, and she said, well, I'll daven for you as well. And I've just thought of a plan, and if we all daven, perhaps we could be successful. And then the Medrash goes to detail her tefillah, a very long and detailed and heart-wrenching tefillah, how she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make her successful and to save Klal Yisrael. Then she went with one of her servants, maidservants, and they dressed themselves up in their finest clothing. And they asked the people who were guarding the gate to allow them to leave. And at first they said, you're going to leave dressed like that? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to, you know, do an avera with these guyan? So she said, no, I'm a chamel Hashem Shemayim and I'm beteach b'Hashem. So they allowed, they believed her. She had a reputation. So we have to realize this is Rebbetzin Kanievsky times 100,000. She was the tzedekis of the city. And they let her go. And she went into the enemy camp, and everybody was struck by her beauty. And the king, Eliporni, when he saw her, immediately decided he wanted to marry her. Now, again, we have to think of this in context. Now, although there were no thriller books and James Bond movies, and maybe they weren't so up-to-date with all the spying available, but and there's no question that they were very in tune with the concept of spying and the concept of seduction, and they knew all about that stuff. And I would have said that given if we would try to rate her chances of success at this plan, they should have been close to nothing. And they also didn't treat women that well. At least the non-Jews did not treat women all that well in those days. And they did what they want with them. They took them, especially a nation that he was about to overrun, take him and lock him up and do what they want. But that's not what happened. She had tremendous siyata d'shmaya. And the king fell for her and said, I want to marry you. And I'll give you, paraphrase Achashverosh, half the kingdom. So she said, well, I can't marry you right now. But tonight, I'll go to the mikvah. But in order for me to go to the mikvah, I need to have a free pass through the camp. So make an announcement throughout the camp that tonight, if you see two ladies walking, don't bother them, don't talk to them, allow them to go where they're going. And this way I'll be able to go to the mikvah tonight, and you can marry me tonight. And he acquiesced. Also, crazy. He agreed. Gave her a free pass, free entry and exit visa to the camp, a woman who was one of the enemy. So then he apparently didn't need that much encouragement to drink. He threw a lavish party to celebrate his chasana, and he drank and drank and drank, and she gave him cheese, and he drank some more, and he passed out. And all his servants left him because they didn't think it was so appropriate that they should be around when he's trying to be alone with this woman. And then she davened again. And again, a very heartrending tefillah, which is all detailed in this medrash. And then she took his sword, cut his head off, hid the head in a bag, and snuck out with her maidservant, and everybody was under instructions not to bother them. So they came back to Yerushalayim. She declared to the people watching the walls, I have his head. So they said, let's see it. They showed him the head. Now, there was days before the internet and mass media, so they had no clue what he looked like. They said, that's not his, whose head? That's him. But luckily, they had this gentleman who was hanging from a tree right outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So they said, hey, is this Eli Parni? So they said, yeah, you see, I was right. So they took his head and they put it up on the wall. And then they declared war on the Greek soldiers who were surrounding the city. They ran to find the general. They found him dead. It struck instant panic. And the Jews, who were totally outnumbered, vastly outnumbered, managed to create confusion and destroy the Greek army and chase them away. And this was all attributed to the schus of Yehudit. So the point over here is, and this is the interesting thing, the point is that it wasn't her might that accomplished this feat, and she did not attribute any iota of it to herself. On the contrary, she relied 100% on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she was mispal, and she davened, and everybody davened, and everybody did tshuva, and it's only because of that, and the Midrashim say, it was only after she saw that everybody was doing tshuva and everybody was davening that she decided, oh, it's the right time to try to carry out my plan. So the message here is something else. The message is that we look at the Chanukah Neris, and women accepted on themselves not to do anything while the Chanukah Neris are burning, because the message was, it wasn't what she did. It was almost as if she felt she did nothing. And she just relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she felt that everything that happened really happened, as Yosef says in this week's parasha, Biladai, beyond me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything. And it's only someone of a level of bitachon of Yehudis that was able to do this. And it was only as a result of her bitachon and her tefillah that they accomplished. It says that when they went to war, they would say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the Sefer Tzvi Hamar, a very early Sefer, says that that's really what Chanu Chanukah means. Chanu Chafei. The classic understanding is Chanu, they rested Chafei on the 25th day of Kislev, and that's when they lit the menorah. But he says it should have said Chanu B'Chafei then. Why does it say Chanu Chafei? So he says Chafei means the 25 letters that are in the Tefillah of Shema Yisrael. And he has a long explanation how that was the specific Tefillah that they used to say again and again and again and again when they did war, and it was only through Yichud Hashem that they totally, totally relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that anything happened in this war. And that's why that is the point of this war. That is the lesson that we need to take from it, that it's not what we do. It's almost as if we did nothing, and it just happened on its own. We just sort of pushed the ball, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything happen as a result of our tefillah. And there's a very famous question why we, in tefillah, all we mention is the nace of the war, and we don't mention anything about the nace of the shemen. And the Gemara, when it talks about Hanukkah, only talks about the nace of the shemen, of the oil, and doesn't talk about the nace of the war. And there's a lot written about this. But I was thinking in light of this, that when we're davening, we discuss the nace that has to do with tefillah. The tefillah is what made this war happen. And tefillah is what made the war successful. And that's what we mention while we're davening. The nace of the shemen didn't come through tefillah. It was totally unexpected. They weren't ready for that. They didn't think it would happen. They were just trying their best. And it had a whole different time, a whole different point. So in tefillah, we discussed the nace that was a result of tefillah. And that's why we discussed the nace of the war then. So when we look at the neiros and we sit and we do nothing, it's to be mechazik us to realize that we don't need to do anything. All we need to do is daven. And that's why Chanukah is known through many svarim as such a special time to daven and such a powerful time to daven, and particularly for women. And particularly because women had that part in the nace. They inspired everybody to do tshuva and to daven, and only through that, to have that bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't an act of bravery. It was an act of bitachon. It wasn't what she did. It was what she didn't do. Have a prayer for Chanukah and a good Shabbos. Kol Tov.